Please continue standing as I read today's sermon text in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn over there with me. Ephesians chapter 6, first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word and your spirit this morning. We pray that it will be active and effectual among us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will be pouring out your spirit upon us, softening our hearts to receive your word. Lord, that you will be opening our ears to hear your word. But mostly, Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see Jesus. And as in his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, last week, I focused on the responsibility of parents and adults in relationship to children. The passage was pretty rough. It was not an easy thing to hear. God is gracious and allows us parents to continue to lead our children. But this week I thought I would come at it from the other angle, from the other side, and see what it has to say for the children in a covenantal relationship. So the passage before us is again a very familiar passage. One that most of you probably have memorized. Parents often encourage their children to memorize this one, for obvious reasons. But it's difficult. We have earthly parents that are not yet perfected. Sometimes they ask us to do hard things. So we think. But last week, as I focused on Abraham a little bit and his responsibility to his children and his response to God's calling, I was struck by the obedience of his son. He had a pretty good role model in front of him. Abraham, whose father had died, being called by God, and God says that he is a father to the fatherless, so God, our father, was Abraham's father, and commanded him to go, and he went. And he promised him blessing. He promised him a son. And Abraham believed him. Even though he and Sarah were well past childbearing age, he still believed. And the New Testament tells us it was counted to him as righteousness. This is the father that Isaac had. Still not perfect. But if you will, turn with me to Genesis 22. Today may be a little different. We're going to go over some familiar ground, but we may look at it from a little different angle. Chapter 22 in Genesis is often pointed to as an example of Abraham's faithfulness to God. And it is. The book of Hebrews mentions it in chapter 11. And it is really quite remarkable what Abraham does here. So it starts out, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So the promise is going to be sacrificed. As with last week's passage, I think we sometimes know these passages too well. Because we know how it ends. But from Abraham's perspective, his faith is being tried. You parents in the room, try to process this for just a second. Abraham and Sarah were past childbearing age, and they miraculously were given a son. And now, what does God ask of Abraham? Make him a burnt offering? So we continue. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Abraham obedient as normal. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Remarkable expression of faith. Abraham was confident that he and Isaac were going to return. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. At this point, Isaac has been silently obedient. It is interesting, the young men here and the word for lad are the same. So I think Isaac is older than we usually give him credit for. And I think the fact that he's got all of the wood on his back should give us an indication that this is a young man. This is somebody who is not a child. But at this point, Isaac has a valid question. It says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It is interesting to note that Abraham and Isaac understand sacrificing and burnt offerings at this point. And in verse 8, Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham following his father, trusting in the outcome. Isaac trusting and obeying his father for the outcome. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The promise is a few inches from death. Abraham moves forward steadily. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. If ever there was an offering of thanksgiving, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, it is the mount of the Lord, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is the God who sees, the God who sees our needs. He was faithful to Abraham as a good father. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. From the context here, when the angel of the Lord is referring to thy seed, he is referring to Isaac, the promise, the obedient son, who followed his father into an unimaginable situation. Now, as we think of those things that our parents tell us to do, which seem nearly impossible, like cleaning our room, consider Isaac. Now, I believe that Abraham had a lot of relational capital with Isaac, because God told us that Abraham would command his children. And I believe that Abraham often told Isaac of the promise and how God had been faithful to him. And Isaac was well aware that God could provide for them. Now there's this interesting bit at the end of the chapter. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she has also borne children under thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Phildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight, Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Reumah. She bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. Rebekah is mentioned. So as we're talking about Isaac, the obedient son, Abraham, the obedient son, at the very end of the chapter, Rebekah shows up. Now, why would they tell us about Rebekah? See, you know the end of the story, right? You know how this turns out. So chapter 23 is the death of Sarah. And then in chapter 24, we have the obedient children. We also have an obedient servant. And in the Westminster Confession's catechisms, both of them, honor your father and your mother, is explained as your mother and your father, and any who holds a position of superiority over you or authority over you. And you are to honor them and obey them. I will not focus too much on the servant, though he is quite amazing. What we will do is we will focus on Isaac and Rebecca. This chapter rings strangely in our ears. As we, in our circles, banty about courtship and dating and betrothal and how do we do this thing? How do we get kids married? There are no lack of theories on the topic. And I am not saying that this chapter is the model, but it is presented to us. It is not condemned in any way, and we have three very faithful characters in this story. So if you'll turn over to chapter 24, we'll work down through this passage. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning the matter. So Abraham sends a second. He sends his servant to go fetch, if you will, a wife for Isaac. Does anybody find that to be strange? Abraham doesn't do it. He doesn't go searching. Isaac doesn't do it. He appears to be trusting his father. And the servant is already ruling over the house, so there is a good level of trust there. The servant through this passage is rock solid, though. If you read what happens here, he does not waver. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went into Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he prays to God that he will be faithful to Abraham and that he will make it obvious to the servant who the woman is. And it came to pass that before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camel also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He is astonished. He is marveling. He had no sooner finished the thought in his head than it came to pass. And it came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." And she said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Not only did she say exactly what he had asked for, but she was of Abraham's family, just as Abraham had asked. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "There spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." The unwavering servant, obeying his master Abraham, will not even eat at this point until he has relayed his message. And he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord hath greatly blessed and has blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him he hath given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife of my son." And I said unto my master, peradventure, what if she doesn't come? So I'll skip down. And so he relays that it happened exactly as he was praying, that Rebekah did the exact thing that he had prayed God would show to him. "Before I was done speaking, behold, Rebekah came forth." So we'll move down here. "And she made haste." 47, he asked who she is. 48, he says that he bowed his head and worshipped. So this family now knows that worshipers of Jehovah are in their house and has led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. "And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. So Rebekah's father and brother give her to the servant. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with them. He finally gets to eat. And tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. He's trying to get his job done. Enough partying. One night, let's get on the road. And the brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. Now wait a minute, not so fast. We're going to miss our daughter, right? That's tough. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Rebekah, the obedient daughter, has just been given in marriage. And they ask her, Today, or 10 days from now? Which will it be? She says, I'll go now. I'll go now. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. We just read this. The angel of the Lord said this to Abraham after the sacrifice. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode the camels and they went. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehoirai, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amazing story. Obedient son and an obedient daughter. Obedient servant. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So we've talked about Isaac obediently following his father to the sacrifice. We've talked about Isaac and Rebekah faithfully, obediently following their parents. A couple pretty difficult situations. Very faithful. But there is a promise attached to this. And it's that thou may be, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Isaac is often referred to as a type of Christ. The sacrifice on the mount, it took him 3 days to get there. He was dead. And then he was resurrected. Abraham seemed to be aware that this was how it was going to turn out. He is often pictured as the bridegroom and Rebecca as the bride, as an illustration of Jesus and his bride. But the promise to live long on the earth. You see, in the New Testament, we have, I believe it's 7 times, where God is referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's word stands forever. Isaac's name is forever attached to the name of our God, as is Abraham and Jacob's. But that is part of the promise. It went well with them. The promise was fulfilled. Their descendants do number as the sand on the sea and the stars in heaven. They will someday possess the gates of their enemy. All of them. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us this is so. But this is still Abraham obeying God his father. Isaac obeying a very faithful man named Abraham. But we have another example of children being faithful. And they're faithful to an earthly father that places burdens on his children that are outside the law of God. And these children obey. If you will, turn with me to Jeremiah 35. It's the story of the Rechabites. I will not read the whole passage for time's sake, but the short version is Jeremiah is having trouble with the Israelites. He pleads and begs and begs and pleads with the Israelites to obey God, and they will not. There's a reason they call him the weeping prophet. From a human standpoint, his ministry, not very successful. Israel is about to fall into captivity, and God tells Jeremiah, I've got an object lesson for you. I want you to call the Rechabites into the temple, and I want you to set bowls of wine and cups in front of them and ask them to drink. Now they respond, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land that you are strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Jonadab lived 300 years before this time. 300 years the Rechabites have been obeying this command. There is no command in God's law to do any of these things. These are all lawful. All of them. Now you talk about obedient children. You talk about faithful children. I mean, think about this for a while. Okay. We're going to get married, right? We're not going to have a house. Ladies probably aren't too crazy about that idea. Kind of like maybe living in a camper for years, right? Something like that. This is a hard sell, but these men are faithful, and they are held up to the Israelites as the example of faithful children, the example of what it means to obey. But it's interesting because they're obeying an earthly father that has asked them to do hard things. Hard things. In contrast to the Israelites, who have a very loving heavenly father who has asked them to do easy things. And that is the contrast that is set up here. And for their obedience, in verse 19, the prophet tells them, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever." Again, a covenantal promise for obedience. So I wanted to point out obedient children, examples from Scripture, who did hard things. That's a high standard, much like last week with the parents. It's a high standard. But God is gracious. He can empower us to obey. He gives us the will to obey. He does not leave us to ourselves. But you see, this is very important. As the Rechabites have shown us, there is a world watching. And as we obey God our Father, and as we obey our earthly fathers and honor them, it is a picture of the gospel. Jesus came to the earth, sent by his Father. I believe the first recorded words we have of Jesus are, after he was lost and his parents came back to Jerusalem, Luke 2, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then there are many verses in the New Testament where Jesus tells us that he is about his Father's business. John chapter 4, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." John chapter 8, "And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Matthew 26, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Jesus came to accomplish the work of his Father. Children, you are commanded to accomplish the work of your Father. Fathers, guess what? That means you have to command your children. You have to have vision. You have to communicate it to them. But this is a picture of the gospel. I want to read from John chapter 6 as I close, as we prepare for communion. This passage, Jesus is communicating to the followers and the Jews, and they're having a hard time understanding him. This is one of those hard sayings. Afterwards, many no longer followed him. But in John chapter 6, starting at verse 32, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, who is sufficient for these things? For we cry out for mercy, we cry out for grace, we cry out for your empowering spirit. Help us as parents to lead well. Help us as children to follow obediently. For we know that this is the example that you set forth in Scripture, that Jesus, as the ultimate example, did the will of his Father. We pray now that you will empower us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.